This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host on the weekend show and also throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com and Corlin Economics Report. That's our podcast name. Every day coming out with market comments and a lot of company updates. Please keep those emails coming when it comes to either guests that I'm having on or companies that I have introduced or ones that you think I should bring on. All that being said, let's get into this weekend show. I am kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's start with gold. Now, I do need to mention that you and I are recording this later in the day on Wednesday, and it's a, I think, key day for gold because gold has been correcting and even today has made a pretty key test of around that 1770 level. Now, that was the November low. I know gold hopefully does hold here. Quite frankly, gold's been in a 7 month plus correction now. Getting a little long in the tooth, but clearly investors are more distracted by almost every other market out there. Jesse, I need to ask you, around the 1770 level, is gold finally getting attractive to you again?
Yeah, you know, I think the main thing that I've been concerned about with gold for the last 6 months or longer is that, there was a risk that interest rates could rise faster than inflation. In essence, that means, you know, real rates are rising. And that's exactly what we've seen really over the last few months. And that's really, I think, what's pressured gold prices is there's a very close correlation between real rates and gold prices. At least there has been for the past 10 years or so. And so, you know, these rising real rates have been putting pressure on gold prices. Now, I do think with gold pulling back to the 1770 level, that's a good, you know, short-term and long-term support level, in my view, from a technical standpoint, but also from a fundamental standpoint. I think there's a good chance we could see over the next several months, 2, 3, 4 months, you know, over something over that time frame, inflation rising faster than rates going forward. Rates are up, you know, I mean, pretty soon, I think, over the next few weeks, we're going to see that the yield on the 10-year T-note is going to be up 100% from a year ago. That's a big move. It doesn't seem like 1.2%, 1.3% is very high on the 10-year, but it's risen dramatically. And you know, this has been the worst start to a year since 2013 for the bond market, for the global bond market. So it doesn't, rates don't have to go up a ton to do a lot of damage in the bond market. And so I think we've seen a lot of damage so far. I think going forward, we're going to start to see inflation picking up. These year-over-year comps are going to start changing dramatically next month. And, you know, gold seasonality starts, positive seasonality starts kicking in. And I think there's a combination of factors that suggest now is probably a good time to be adding to your gold holdings if you're a long-term investor in the gold market.
All right. So essentially what you're saying, too, is that gold has been so closely inversely tied to what's been going on in terms of yields, especially in the long end of the yield curve, because those yields have been rising. And that all plays into the conversation of real yields. It's something that you and I have talked about in the past, but I do want you to reiterate what matters here for real yields, because it's pretty easy to see what's going on in the market in terms of where the market is pushing the long end of yields. But the whole inflation part of that equation, that can get a bit muddied. Please share with us how you're calculating real rates.
Yeah, I think there's a mistake that many investors have been making over the last 6 to, 12 months. And that's, a shorthand for real rates. It's just looking at the tips market, right? You can look at the tips implied real rate of, real rates across the curve, or you can just look at tips relative to the gold price. And, a lot of people just look at GLD and, TIP is a, tips ETF. And they show, it looks like tips have been, continuing to power higher since August, while gold has suffered. And that gap is kind of what a lot of people look at as suggesting that, hey, gold is cheap relative to real rates. And the only thing I would respond to that is last year when the Fed came into the markets and really ramped up their buying of Treasury securities again, they did so in the tips market in a way they haven't done in the past. And last year they bought up, I think about 10% of the tips market, which is just massive. And they're on pace to buy as much as, according to my friend Daniel DiMartino Booth, they're on pace to buy up as much as 60% of the tips market by the end of next year. And so that just is a massive impact on the tips market, which to me is probably makes it, potentially fraught with errors in terms of reflecting what real rates look like. And so to me, I'm just looking at core inflation versus the 30-year treasury yield. And to me, that's the real rate. And right now it does suggest, gold prices do have some risk to trade even lower over the next month or so. But they should, if real rates don't get any worse, over the next few months, we should probably see gold prices pushing 2000 again by the end of the year.
So in terms of inflation, there's always a debate and argument that goes on in terms of market inflation and also inflation that individuals are seeing in their daily life versus what we're getting in terms of the data. Where are you looking at inflation and at where inflation spikes can come from in the near term?
Well, if you look at, core inflation, the latest, January reading, it was pushed down by two things. It came in at under 1.4% year over year. And services inflation is obviously way down because there's a lot of things people still can't go do in terms of services. And so that's part of it. But the other side of it is rents. And that's, obviously the way that, they figure the rents through owner's equivalent rent is flawed. But you also see rents dropping pretty dramatically in the big cities, like San Francisco and New York. But at the same time, we're seeing home prices, soar to record highs. And so, when that the eviction moratorium expires in the end of March, I think we could possibly see rents and home prices start to converge again. We'll see strength return. If you look at asking prices for rents, I mean, they're soaring alongside home prices. They have to. And so I think once people are allowed, we're getting more people vaccinated, that services inflation piece is going to pick up again. And then we're going to see rents, start to close the gap with home prices, over the next few months. And those two things on their own might be enough to push inflation back above, core inflation back above 2% pretty quickly.
Now, when we carry this over to any reaction from the Federal Reserve, do you see inflation making the Fed change any course? Do you see the Fed coming out with some sort of yield curve control because the long end is running? How does the Fed play into this?
Well, the Fed is going to be forced to address inflation. A lot of the inflation work I admire is, done by my friends over at Nordea Research, and they show that, by midsummer, core inflation could be running 2.5% plus. And so, that may lead you to believe that the Fed may need to at least be talking about tapering at that point. They say they want inflation to run hot, but if you get core inflation, pushing 3% this summer, I think they're going to feel a ton of pressure to at least start discussing, putting out forward guidance for, tapering and potentially, raising short-term interest rates.
All right, Jesse, we're out of time on the radio, but I'm bringing you back on next segment. So everybody stick around. Jesse Felder and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Jesse, I now want to just shift our focus a little bit more to the precious metals market. Talking about gold. Gold's continuing in this downtrend. It tested out 1770 again this week. One aspect of the gold market is that I think we can say it's largely ignored by investors right now. Investors are distracted elsewhere. What's going to draw investors more into the sector outside of, say, some moves in real yields? Is it maybe a slowdown in U.S. equity markets? Is it some shock to the system? What do you see is drawing some of these investors that have largely ignored gold for the last little while back into the sector?
Well, you know, if you look at fund flows, we just saw record equity fund flows. I think it was the week before last. And so people are chasing risk assets right now. I just put up a blog post today about the, you know, the mania, the frenzy for risk assets right now. It's literally, I mean, it's seriously crazier than anything we've ever seen before. So I think the flip side of that is we've seen outflows out of, you know, precious metals ETFs. And so I think a lot of people are just chasing what's hot. And, you know, like these rising interest rates, rising nominal interest rates could potentially put a great deal of pressure on the relative performance of growth stocks. You look at why have so many unprofitable companies, the senior stock prices perform so well. Well, they're essentially the longest duration risk assets that you could ever conceive of. And so with long duration, you know, bonds, seeing rate, you know, prices go down, like I mentioned, the worst start to a year since 2013, it doesn't take much of a rise in rates to see bond prices, long bond prices go down pretty significantly. You know, by the same token, those long duration risk assets, equities, most notably unprofitable growth stocks, could see, you know, some serious pressure as well. And that probably would see, you know, so some of that hot money flow back out of risk assets and into things like gold.
Jesse, one other thing I want to ask you about when it comes to the gold sector deals with the gold miners. I know you follow them closely. You've written a number of articles on the major gold miners. But we look at some of the recent earnings reports. They've been crushing it. Their numbers have been historically good right now, and they're not getting the love from the market. Is that, again, just another function that everyone's distracted by other sectors?
Yeah, I think it's a distraction thing. I think it's also, I think a lot of people are still looking at gold as a cyclical play rather than a secular play. And by that, I mean people are looking at gold, you know, like you look at a cyclical stock. So let's take, you know, Caterpillar, for example. You know, at the top, you know, Caterpillar's price earnings ratio is going to look really, really cheap. You know, might trade 5, 6, 7 times earnings. And at the bottom, it might trade 50, 60 times earnings. And that's just the nature of the cyclicality of the company's earnings that, you know, it's going to look expensive at the bottom and it's going to look very cheap at the top based on the, like I said, the cyclicality of the company's earnings. I think people are looking at gold stocks in the same way, saying, you know what, I'm not going to pay a high multiple for these stocks because the gold price is cyclically turning down right now. And that, I do think that's probably what a lot of people are thinking. I think if we do see gold bottom here in the 1770 area turn back up and break this pennant pattern that it's been forming since August, you know, break out higher above that downtrend line, you know, that's going to make people question this cyclical thesis. And if people come around to the idea that gold isn't a secular uptrend that's going to last 5, 7 years, something like that at least, then they're going to have to reprice the miners very dramatically and say, hey, you know what? Maybe 10 times, you know, enterprise value to EBITDA is too cheap for a company like Agnico Eagle. And we'll have to, you know, maybe we're willing to pay 20, 25, 30 times. And, you know, so you'd see that stock, which is down, what, 50% or something, you know, from its highs. Maybe not quite that much. But, you know, we'd see a stock like that's gone from, what, 90 to 60. So it's lost a third of its value. You know, if that's repriced based on its current earnings, that stock's over $100 pretty easy.
let's carry that over to the U.S. equity markets, because as much as we've talked about rates hurting precious metals and gold stocks and the general sentiment there, these higher rates haven't seemed to hurt growth stocks, which you think that should carry over. Where's the imbalance here?
Well, you know, I think we're starting to see it today. If you look at Apple, you know, Apple's trading at its highest valuation literally in history. I don't think even when the iPod first came out, the stock traded at a price to sales ratio anywhere near that it is today. And that's just a function of interest rates. As people say, I'm willing to pay almost 40 times earnings for Apple if rates are, you know, held on the floor. But as soon as rates, you know, go up, I mean, I think that's the sole reason we're seeing Apple down 2% today. When the rest of the market's not down near that much, Tesla, you know, probably is trying to turn around here today. But these are the stocks that are vulnerable to higher rates. I, you know, the way I look at it, if you just look at growth in general, just as a sector, you know, S&P 500 growth, you know, category. And you compare it to the S&P 500, to me, they've outperformed so much that they're essentially, and there's a close correlation here, too, with nominal interest rates, that they've essentially priced in negative interest rates. And like I said, now with the 10-year yield, I mean, it's going to be up more than 100% year over year here, you know, pretty soon. It got down to, you know, what, 50 basis points last March. And, you know, we're almost 150 basis points. So it's almost, almost tripled in the past 12 months. At some point, growth stocks are going to have to reprice as well and realize that, you know, discounting negative interest rates, that's just not happening. And they're actually going the other way right now. And so that, to me, makes the broader market real vulnerable to potential reversal.
So is this just a perfect example of how at times irrational markets and investors can get? Because clearly investors are not pricing in a negative rate environment for the precious metals, but they continue to price that in for the growth stocks and these sectors that just keep on running. It seems like right now investors are nothing more than trend followers. Not that that hasn't been working for them, but that really seems to be the main hold of what's driving markets.
Yeah, and I think that's really just human nature. Is people are prone to take the recent, you know, recent history and extrapolate that out indefinitely into the future. So that, I mean, growth stocks start performing well based on falling interest rates and what have you, and then that turns into a momentum trade, and people just pile into it because it's worked recently, and they expect it to continue to work. And so, and this is exactly what happens at turning points, is those trends get taken to extremes that are totally unjustified. And so I think we are seeing that in, we've seen that with growth stocks. And I hate to even say growth stocks, because a lot of these stocks are, you know, SPACs and things that, you know, acquisition companies that have bought companies that literally have no revenues, let alone earnings.
All right. Thanks again for joining us on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again in another few weeks.
Always a pleasure, Corey. Thanks.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from Sunny-Bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News.
Two pilots killed in a training mission. The Air Force announcing a jet crash Friday near Montgomery, Alabama. The jet based out of Mississippi. No word on the pilots' identities or what happened. NASA expecting more pictures from Mars this weekend. The rover Perseverance landing on the red planet Thursday. Former astronaut Mike Massimino tells NBC News, thanks to Perseverance, we're going to be learning a lot about Mars in the years to come.
The idea of sending people to Mars, I think that's what this in some ways is all about. You know, there's a lot of understanding our planet as well by looking at Mars, understanding how our solar system formed, looking for other signs of life, answering questions not only about Mars but Earth, but also paving the way for people to go there.
NASA calls the pictures it has already seen from Mars exhilarating. President Biden planning to visit Texas soon following a massive storm. No word on when the visit will take place. Biden also saying Friday he'll sign a major disaster declaration for Texas. This is USA Radio News. The weather delaying plans to vaccinate more Americans against the coronavirus. President Biden in Michigan Friday at a Pfizer vaccine plant as the delivery of 6 million doses is held up by extreme weather across most of the country. Overall, Biden says he likes the pace of vaccine distribution, especially considering what he calls a slow start.
Just over 4 weeks ago, America had no real plan to vaccinate most of the country. My predecessors, my mother would say, God love them, failed to order enough vaccines. Failed to mobilize the effort to administer the shots. Failed to set up vaccine centers. That changed the moment we took office.
Biden believes his administration is still on track to administer 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days. Meanwhile, the House Budget Committee yesterday releasing details of the $2 trillion COVID relief bill. It includes a $15 an hour minimum wage, $1,400 stimulus checks, extending unemployment benefits, and more money for small businesses. This is USA Radio News.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. I'm going to spend the next two segments with Rick Bensignor. He is the editor of the newsletter, supposedly Irrelevant Factors, that is read by some of the largest hedge funds in the world. Also writes the 7-Eleven report, where Rick chooses no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs. And for the retail trader, he writes in the No Trader. Now, Rick, you and I chat approximately every month, and we usually start off with U.S. equity markets and work through the gambit of the market moves and then down into some of the other sectors. We're going to start today on commodities, though, especially base metals. We look at something like copper. Copper had a very strong close to the week, and it's trading at over $4 a pound, which we haven't seen these levels in 9 years, really since that March low when copper dropped below $2 a pound. It has screamed higher. We can look at, I think it's 12 months, and it's only had one brief month of more or less sideways motion. That was in September of 2020. Other than that, copper just continues to scream higher. Give me your take on this move in copper, Rick. Clearly, it's driven by inflation expectations, economic restart expectations. But has copper gotten a little too overheated in your eyes?
Well, hi, Corey. I think copper is a little overheated, but it continues to tell you a message that's consistent across all the markets, which is
the investment marketplace, let's say investors, have clearly chosen to put COVID behind them in the sense of investments. They continually fuel most markets higher, as if we're going to get past this. And of course, with the Fed having given the go-ahead, I guess, you know, at this point it must be 11 months ago, March, April of last year, and the Chairman Powell saying basically that the spigots are open at the Fed as needed. Look, this has certainly fooled a lot of people, and the market has ripped higher. And if you look at a copper chart over the last year, it's not so different than a crude oil chart, which is not so different than an S&P 500 chart. It basically, they all bottomed in March of last year, and they've all ripped to new highs. So, you know, having been, let's say, the educated and typically smart investor, for an individual investor, has actually hurt you, and it's in, to some degree, me too, because I figured the significance of COVID would, you know, keep a lid on just how far the market can go. So this has become another example for the history books of don't fight the Fed. And it's one of the simplest things we learn in, you know, early days of becoming a student of the markets. And this is just going to go down as another classic example of why when the Fed makes it clear that the money is going to be there, investors don't really care much about other headlines. You know, day-to-day headlines can push market up or down, but the big trend is in favor of what the Fed is doing. And, they'll, you know, at some point that runs out because the Fed is often behind the curveball on what's going on. But when they make a statement like they have, that they will continuously fuel the fire of bullishness as needed in order to keep things going within their mandates of high employment and low inflation, you know, with a target of 2%. And then in the last several months, the Fed has said, well, now we're willing to let inflation go above 2% if needed. Basically, you look at copper and you say that this is just pure buying. Now, there's a heck of a lot of fun buying behind this. Hedgers are, you know, I won't say on the wrong side because they're hedging inventory and it's, you know, if the market moves higher, so be it. They're not in there to speculate. If you're a true hedger, you're not in there to speculate on the price of the commodity that you're a natural hedger for. But this is now, you know, you've seen the last couple of weeks some very strong moves up, especially this week. On some of the models we use, copper actually does have an exhaustion target at 410. That's COMEX copper, not LME. So we hit 409 today. So, you know, we're awfully close, and it's, where is it? 406 or so. I think if I'm, yeah, 406. But so we certainly could pause in here. But when you look at the signal that's being generated by all these markets, it's that sometime later 2021 and into 2022, spending will come back both at the corporate level, the individual level. You've had a housing boom up until some not-so-good statistics in the last week. But this is a case of momentum trade that continually picks up momentum as funds continue. And when I say funds, I'm talking about, in this case, because we're talking about copper, commodity funds, pooled money that goes into for commodity trading advisors, commodity pool operators, people who are, and people running hedge funds, the buy signals just continue on top of themselves. So you have the speculative element, very long copper, very long oil, very long most major commodities at this point. And that will continue until something changes the game.
Now, that's a key aspect, right? Until something changes the game. But quite frankly, we've heard about a lot of, I guess, news or uncertainty that could change the game. It hasn't, though. Copper's gone straight up. Markets have gone almost straight up. However, the one trend I think we've seen really since that March low is more rotation within the markets. But in terms of copper, it seems like we haven't seen any rotation out of copper. It's just consistently building on itself. What do you have to say to that? Why hasn't there been a bit more rotation out of copper? Has it just not reached that, I guess, altitude that investors finally do want to take some profits?
Well, part of it is that the funds that drive so much of the price of commodities, certainly in the short to medium term, typically not in the long term, because the hedgers are generally the smarter money. They're inside the industry. They know more of what's going on than some computer that generates a buy or sell signal. But there hasn't been enough adverse price movement to knock them out. And that's why the funds are long and then keep generating new buy signals as new highs get made in the move and you break out through, whether it's, who knows, Fibonacci retracements, moving averages, all different type things that can be programmed into these models. There just hasn't been enough decline to shake them out. So they buy and then they ultimately buy more. And so you'll see the hedgers, in theory, are the ones losing. But if they're true hedgers, all they've lost is opportunity cost. They'll, you know, if you're long copper, if you're a producer of copper, you're selling copper futures against your inventory and your forward inventory. So, you're not in it to speculate on the price of copper. If you have a copper mine and you're not there to play the price of copper. You're there to get the copper out of the ground and to distributors who can get it into the hands of people who need it. And you're just willing to lock in a price over cost. That's what the futures markets allow anybody who's a natural grower or producer to do.
All right, Rick, unfortunately we're out of time for this segment on the radio stations, but I am having you back on next segment, and we are going to start to focus a little bit more on some of the other commodities, such as energy and also the precious metals, and then we're also going to get into a little bit on yields. One thing, everybody listening on the radio, if you want to listen to this full interview, unedited and without these commercial pauses, please come to our website, kereport.com, click on that weekend show posting, and you can hear the full two segments with Rick Bensinger.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, here we are, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Rick, let's start off here with the precious metals.
Why has the precious metals, especially gold, lagged all these other commodities?
So gold, Corey, peaked last August. And at the time, within a month of it peaking, I remember writing to clients, and you get my weekly report, that the likelihood that gold had peaked for the balance of the year was in. And that ended up being true. Gold has continuously sold off since last August. It's in a perfect downward channel. So certainly in the short to medium term picture of 3 to 6 months, gold has been straight down. What I'm seeing is that open interest in gold has materially fallen in the last 6 months, which means both prior longs and prior shorts are stepping away. And that means there's less interest in gold itself. So gold has become a source of funds for either other metals. So for those who have to be in the metal space and they have a mandate to be in the metal space, if they're selling out of gold, perhaps they put that money into silver or platinum, which we can talk about in a second because that's skyrocketed. It might have moved into the base metal side. If it's not a pure precious metals fund, you know, it might have moved to other metals, or it just came out to fuel some stock buying. If you're trading global macro and can basically trade anything. So gold is, look, you've got a Fed printing money and saying it's available, which typically could be inflationary and people would say that's good for gold. But on the flip side of that, you've got Bitcoin, which went from $10,000 to $50,000 in the last year. So people are looking at other things that are moving instead of gold that's not. Silver has a much better chart. Platinum has a much better chart. Palladium has a better chart, though palladium hasn't moved much in the last 6 months. But any of the other precious metals are doing better. So gold has essentially become a source of funds for other investments. When I look at the gold chart itself, and I look at a rolling futures contract, there's actually important support at 1768, which is the bottom. For those who know this model, it's the bottom of the weekly cloud chart. And you basically want to see gold hold above that to keep the structure in place of the 7-year breakout that happened 2 summers ago. So gold is pulling back to a place it could bounce from. But and right now, you know, bullish sentiment in gold is low enough that we touch there. We could get a bounce from here. But you've got to have something really change to get people back into gold in the same way they were talking about it, you know, a year ago when it was moving up substantially. And before it fell apart because of COVID, where all risk assets came down, you know, gold was pushing towards new highs, and in the summertime made new all-time highs. So if you look at a long-term gold chart, the first, the 2011 high, if I recall, was front month futures contract was 1924, and then last summer we got to a little over 2000. I don't remember the exact high, but somewhere about $100 higher than gold had printed 8 years earlier, or eight, yeah, 9 years earlier. And then it fell back again. So is gold now at a long-term double top, or is this, you know, kind of the downward channel that is going to fuel another rise? If you look at the fundamental picture, it should be the downward channel that fuels another rise. But right now it's kind of hard to pick what it's going to take to get gold to do that when so many other people are saying, why should I buy gold when I could buy Bitcoin and make so much money in 3 seconds. Now, obviously, you've got to decide that Bitcoin or some type of asset like that is worth holding and, you know, getting involved in. I'm still unclear on the fundamentals of Bitcoin and cryptos, because even if you're getting institutional interest now in that marketplace, which you are, as an individual, and I, you know, somebody may pull this clip out years down the road and say, boy, Bensinger had no idea what he's talking about. But to me, Bitcoin will never be something you have to have. It may become an alternative form to make a payment, but I don't know why you would have to have it. And therefore, you know, I understand if JP Morgan needs to have some Bitcoin and get into it, because at some point, if they let people transact with it, they need to be able to be a two-sided market. But for you and me and everyday people, the only reason you're buying it now is pure speculation. Again, to my knowledge, you will never have to own Bitcoin, because there'll still be other forms of payment that'll be just as easy. And there'll be a point where we're all paying with everything with our phones anyway, and you won't have any cash in your pocket. You know, we're not that far away from them there now. So gold has essentially just been the black sheep of the family of precious metals. And, you know, you've seen massive liquidation. And when you start to see, if price moves up, starts to move up, and you see open interest move up, then that's a good sign. But otherwise, as of right now, it's, you know, almost any other investment you could have been in would have done you better than gold, certainly in the last 6 months. But even as in relative to other places, you know, it's still has not been a great thing. So if you have 3% in your portfolio, which is the standard long-term, you know, allocation to have just as a hedge, you're fine. I pushed it up to 5% was my recommendation to people over the last several years, knowing that gold, especially once we had the breakout of the 7-year sideways pattern above 1350. So, yeah, you can hold some gold. You're not going to get destroyed by it. I don't see it falling from here. I don't see it, you know, maybe it falls another $100, $200. I don't think it's going to go lower than that. But, yeah, there are other places to make money a heck of a lot quicker than gold.
Okay. All right, let's move over to energy, because energy as well has been moving higher, especially clean energy. But we also do see something like oil. Oil was over $60 a barrel at one point this week, closed right around $58 a barrel. This, again, has been a very quick move forward. What do you think about the prospects of oil? I know, well, at least I've been on the record saying I didn't think oil was going to go that far, as far as it has.
Frankly, and I'm the type guy, I've been in this business 40 years, and, you know, I fess up when I'm wrong. Since oil hit 30 bucks or so, I've had a hard time being bullish of it. And I've tried finding places to sell it for the fund I trade for. And I haven't gotten hurt, but I've made no money, you know, attempting to sell it because it's just gone straight up. And what I couldn't wrap my head around and still really can't is the demand picture. So many people are still sitting at home driving a fraction of what they used to drive. You know, I live just north of New York City. You go into Manhattan and office buildings are virtually empty. You know, where the demand is from is hard for me to understand. And for many people I talk to who are in the industry, hard for them to even understand just how much the price of oil has come back. Now, you've got OPEC, which tried to cut back, and that has helped. But let's forget the fact that almost a year ago, you know, front month oil went negative. Let's just say from roughly $7.50 or $10 a barrel at the, you know, where we were at the lows, not including the expiring contract that went negative. The fact that oil's come back from 10 and is now sixfold, a year later, with all of us still sitting at home wondering when and if we're going to be able to get back to our offices, and so many restaurants closed down and places that would typically consume some, whether it's oil or a product of oil, to me is kind of mind blowing. So funds are long, same type thing. Hedgers have sold, and again, you know, they, in theory, if they had waited to sell, they would have sold at much higher prices, but it's not the game they play. It's not, they're not there for the game. And it's awfully hard to really say why you have $60 crude oil. And I want to talk to people in the industry, and they're trying to figure out how oil is trading at 60. It tells you something.
All right, everybody, we are out of time for this weekend show. I appreciate all of you joining me, Rick. I really appreciate all of your insights. I always learn a lot when I bring you on the show and spend a couple extended segments with you. Everyone who listens to the weekend show, be sure that you come back and check out all the daily editorials throughout the week, especially all the company updates. I've been posting a lot of company interviews trying to get the information across, help explain some of the stories that I'm invested in, even that we just follow on the website. And please keep all the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you. Rick, everyone listening, I hope you all have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks for having me.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the health stocks boom in the U.S. markets. With the pandemic affecting virtually every aspect of American life, people are ready to get past the crisis and get on with living. We've identified a company that could scale up widespread rapid testing and get our economy back on track sooner rather than later. And we want to introduce you to this groundbreaking company with your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word test to 48542 to get info on this undervalued rapid testing technology that can deliver results in as little as 15 minutes. Demand for testing devices could outstrip supply for the foreseeable future. Text the word test to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Stock News Trends. Get this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Avid Stock News Trends. Text the word test to 48542. Text test to 48542.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.